Hawaii. The session at the Camp David retreat has brought together Bush's national security team and other top officials. U.S. diplomats and military leaders joined from Baghdad by a video hookup. Bush said last week's killing of Zarqawi is not going to end the war, but it's, quote, a major blow to al-Qaeda. A senior official says troop deployments in the region on the Camp David agenda, but a major withdrawal is not going to happen soon. Meanwhile, a U.S. military doctor says Zarqawi was alive for almost an hour after last week's airstrike hit his safe house northeast of Baghdad. An autopsy shows the al-Qaeda in Iraq leader's injuries were consistent with those caused by a bomb blast. They say he showed no signs of beating or firearms injury. The military says an FBI test positively identified the body as Zarqawi. He died, they said, 52 minutes after the airstrike. U.S. forces arrived about 28 minutes after the strike and treated Zarqawi until he died. Jeb Bush ready to call up the National Guard as the season's first tropical storm. Alberto approaching Florida. Governor Jeb Bush signing an emergency declaration so he can bring in the Guard and outlaw price gouging. Jeb Bush warning Floridians to take very seriously hurricane warnings posted for about 200 miles of Gulf coastline. Officials warn a long stretch of the coast could see a storm surge of up to 10 feet, rain already falling. There may be as many as 10 inches of rain falling through tomorrow. Forecasters say two tornadoes also reported, although there's no word of injuries or damage. After the storm got stronger today, Governor Bush told an emergency response team, Alberto has a potential wide impact for a lot of people. New FBI figures show violent crimes on the rise for the first time since 2001. The Bureau is saying there were nearly 17,000 murders last year, the highest figure since 1998. Example, Houston, a 23% rise in murders, Philadelphia, 14%. Palestinian security forces went on a rampage in the West Bank. Forces loyal to President Mahmoud Abbas shot at the parliament and cabinet building, setting fire to one building. They're reacting to a Hamas attack on their comrades in Gaza. The Fatah movement and the Hamas militant group that controls the cabinet and parliament have been in a power struggle. This is Air America Radio News.
good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. And a big thanks to Peter Werby, who filled in for me on Friday while I went to Seattle, and wow, what a city. What a city. I listened to, on the flight out there, I was listening, listened to 2 hours of Majority Report, and the whole 3 hours of Peter, 2 hours of Peter filling in for me, and Sam's program, Majority Report, from the yearly Coast Convention in Las Vegas was just absolutely astounding. What a gig! But it was topped by what happened in Seattle, as far as I'm concerned. We had a great time. I have to tell you, for people who don't live in Seattle, I see why the city is kept a secret. It's to keep most of us who would go there in a heartbeat from moving there and screwing everything up. What a great city. AM 1090 in Seattle was the host, and it was a forum about media influence, the talk radio influencing the political system and vice versa. And Rachel Maddow was there on the panel, and Tom Hartman and Stephanie Miller and Laura Flanders and me. And it was just absolutely a hoot. We had such a good time, and an audience, a packed town hall theater, absolutely packed to the rafters, of one of the most enthusiastic audiences. I said this after I came back from Sacramento, but it's the same thing out in Seattle. Just absolute enthusiasm. An audience that was there wanting to participate in what we were doing up on the stage. It was just a whole lot of fun. And who else was there? Tom Hartman's wife was there, Louise, haven't seen her for a while. Rachel Maddow's partner, Susan, was there, and her parents, two of the nicest parents in the universe. And Stephanie Miller's imaginary friend came along, and just kidding, Stephanie. But after a very short period of time, hanging out with the Air America crowd, it almost felt like, remember when you were a kid and you used to go to camp in the summer, and you have a week or two of all these fun activities, and it'd be time to go home, and everybody would, I'll see you next year. You know, we were only together out there for less than 24 hours, but I swear when it all broke up, and Susan and Stephanie went to, where did they go? They went to New York, and I went to Atlanta, and Susan and Rachel went to New York, and I went to Atlanta, and Stephanie went back to L.A., and Tom went back to Portland. It felt like camp was breaking up. It was really, really kind of sad, but it was great fun. We should do that more often. And if you watched it, AM 1090 in Seattle web streamed it, so if you watched it, multiply what you saw as the fun everyone was having, including us on the panel, by about 1,000, and you get the flavor of last Saturday night. It was great fun, and thanks so much to AM 1090 for doing that. It's such a difference when an Air America, and I've got to say this. I've picked up a cough, so periodically tonight you'll hear these pauses. That's when I depress the cough button so I can cough. I woke up Friday morning. Flight left Atlanta Friday afternoon about 6 o'clock, and I woke up Friday morning with one of Molly's famous colds. Molly gets a runny nose, and I get what feels like pneumonia. But made the trip anyway, and was kind of sick while I was out there, and now I just have the cough. And that's, you know, you remember, if you were a parent, what it was like having a toddler. Everything they get, you get. But the involvement of AM 1090 in Air America programming, whether it is those of us who work at Air America, or work for Air America, like Rachel, like me, or those who are affiliated, like Tom and Stephanie, Laura is Laura an Air America employee, Kathy? Is she? It doesn't make any difference how we are connected to Air America, whether we are employed by Air America or syndicated by Air America. If a radio station is carrying our programming, when they get involved, to the extent that the Sacramento station did, and to the extent that the Seattle station did, and develop and promote these events, that guarantees the forward movement of Air America programming in various cities. Here in Atlanta, there was never any involvement in what we're doing. Well, I think there was once or twice where we did a gig, a remote broadcast, but it was, nothing really that spectacular at all. And as a result, Air America no longer exists in Atlanta as of today. It's just not here, and it's probably not coming back. This is not Phoenix, where a station can be leased. This is a market or a city absolutely, utterly controlled and dominated where it concerns media by extreme right-wing political point of view. So there's no chance that Air America is going to resurge in Atlanta. Now, that's the way I feel now. I mean, it may change. Maybe it'll change. Who knows? But again, thanks to AM 1090 in Seattle for just an absolute... And they just treated us like we were family. You know, those of us who came in from Air America to do this for them. Station management, oh my God, they treated us like family, which is about the highest compliment I can pay. So thanks everybody in Seattle. What a gorgeous, gorgeous city. My good friend Dr. Roger Libby lives out there. We got together on Saturday morning, and he took me to the, was it Pike Street Market? Is it Pike Place Market? God, what a place. So it was a great time, and that's all I'm going to say about it. But I just wanted to mention that to my cohorts at Air America. Y'all were great. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience to be on stage with that kind of talent. Jesus, you know, they're all so good in what they do, absolute professionals, and the audience just so supportive, so absolutely the kind of audience that anyone would want if you're going to do that sort of thing. The support for this sort of programming in Seattle is right at the peak. So thanks to all of you, and the last group, of course, the station management, and Heather, the woman who coordinated all this. Thanks a lot, guys. You were you treated us like family, and we appreciate it. Now, if you're listening to this program tonight in Atlanta, you're listening either on the Internet or XM Radio, and you probably called our studio, mine and Kathy's studio, to complain about the format change. And I'm sorry to say, but you've got the wrong number when you do that. If you want to make a comment about the format change, and, you can. It's good to vent. But if you want to make a comment about what has happened to 1690 in Atlanta, go to my website, michaelmalloy.com, and you'll see how to get in touch with the new management. It's up as an action alert on my website main page. Or you can call JW Broadcasting here in Atlanta. And is that number up at the website, Kathy? Okay, it's 404-223-1160, but the number is at the website. But if you call the studio here and leave a message for Air America Radio or Air Atlanta, we can do nothing but delete it. We have no way of forwarding it to them. We have no way of getting it to them. Nothing. So just go to my website, and you'll see how to get in touch with the new management of 1690 if you want to. I frankly think it's a waste of time, but if you want to do it, go ahead. That's just the way it goes. Liberal talk radio, you see, the liberal media keeps killing liberal talk radio. Isn't that interesting, huh? We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America. All night long, but you just want to sit and listen to radio. You just want to sit and listen to radio. You just want to sit and listen to radio. All you ever want to do is listen to your radio.
Radio. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. You'll never find a Rolex watch in a superstore, or for that matter, an Orrick vacuum. That's because you're judged by the company you keep. If you want an amazingly powerful 8-pound Orrick vacuum, visit one of my Orrick stores, or call me at 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and I'll send you one to use free for 30 days. It's worth the time, and it won't cost you a dime.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person. She was here watching the kids, so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
21 past the hour. I caught the tail end of some newscast today. CNN, CBS, I don't know. But new statistics are out. I guess these kind of statistics are always about a year and a half behind. I think this is from 2004. possibly 2005, but I doubt it. I think it's 2004. And it said that crime is up in every category. Murder, everything is up across the country after a 10-year decline that started, obviously started, in just about the middle of the first Clinton term. And that's when some of the progressive legislation that was passed and that Clinton signed off on, and the economy was starting to pick back up after the horrendous butchering of it by the first Bush. People were getting jobs, and crime, the attitude in the country was different. It was certainly more expectant, more positive, more forward-looking than it is now. That's an understatement. But crime is up across the country under this filthy Bush administration for a number of reasons. Guns are much more accessible because the NRA now pretty much controls whatever the Bush crime family's agenda is on guns. It's not controlled by common sense or logic or the legislative process. It's controlled by the NRA. So there are more guns in the hands of more young people. There is a vicious illegal war. Bush set the tone when he says, you know, screw the law, I'm going to invade a country because I feel like it. That's like one gang saying, screw the law, I'm going to cross the street and go butcher other gang members because, you know, that's what I feel like doing. Bush is a thug, he's a street punk, and he's a criminal. Another reason is the poisonous rhetoric that comes from every mouth in the Bush crime family. Even the school marm, Condoleezza Rice, uses rhetoric that may be couched in shiny, polished up university provost terms, but when you get right down to it and peel off the polish, you realize that she's as much of a street thug as Dick Cheney. And the other thing, of course, is the utter and absolute disdain and disrespect and promotion of the disdain and disrespect by every member of this crime family for the law, whether it's domestic law, federal law, international law, whether it's treaties, agreements, standards of behavior, it makes no difference. The Bush crime family has collectively unzipped its fly, including Ms. Rice, and urinated all over every single aspect of law and order. Real law and order, not Nixonian law and order, but I mean real law and order. The respect for individual rights, the respect for the United States Constitution, the respect for international agreements like the Geneva Conventions that were pounded out by people over decades in a furious attempt to try to at least regulate the conduct of war, if not eliminate the causes. So the Bush crime family is responsible for every single uptick in the crime rate in this country. And they love it, because the more crime to these sons of bitches, the more reason there is to tighten the screws even further. But this utter disrespect that the Bush people have shown for law, they don't care. And the fact that they lie, and the fact that they are thieves, and the fact that they are con artists and grifters, and they steal anything that's not nailed down. You don't think this sets an example for people in the society who might be teetering, do I commit a crime or do I not? Well, George, by God, Bush talks to God, and God tells him to invade countries. Well, God is telling me this morning to go rob the First National Bank. So out of my way, homies, give me my gun. I'm going to go kill, shoot, and murder, just like Bush does. The ripple effect from this corrupt, filthy regime is astonishing. It's just astonishing. Well, with the crime rate up, this will give the right wing neo-Nazis in Congress, in the state legislatures, even more ammunition to pass even more draconian laws, which will not reduce the crime rate. What reduces the crime rate is a number of things: jobs, the idea that you can get ahead in society, in your own life, you can provide for your family, yourself. Available physical and mental health facilities to take addiction treatment centers. The other reason, of course, is because Bush has totally gutted the COPS program, all those programs put in place, the community policing organizations put in place by Congress during the Clinton administration and signed off, signed onto by Bill Clinton, all of those efforts, all of those genuine efforts at improving the lives of everybody in this country that did occur during the Clinton years. You can spin it any way you want, either as a result of Clinton policies or cyclical business rhythms or the Congress. I don't care how you spin it. The fact is, the numbers were there. Bush has destroyed even that.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Entrepreneur. Smart word. So smart, it's almost a different language. Look it up. Here at Budget Rent-A-Car, we admire entrepreneurs, and not just for their bilingual skills, but also for their courage, and for the big thinking they show by opening a small business and joining the Budget Business Program. Yes, the Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. That's $2 back every day. No wonder Budget won the 2006 Entrepreneur Magazine Business Travel Award as the best car rental value for small businesses. Such an entrepreneur thing to do. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business to sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent Budget and rent like a genius.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. When you purchase my new 8-pound Oreck XL upright vacuum, you also get a great gift. For everything above the floor, I'll give you my Oreck Super Compact Canister. It's so powerful, it'll pick up a bowling ball. Try them free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. After all, why settle for one vacuum? With Oreck, you can get two. 1-800-989-4200.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I know, who's he? I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Now, why would Headline News give me a show? Maybe because politically correct really isn't in my vocabulary. It's time somebody says what we're all thinking, from politics to pop culture. Every night, Headline News sets me loose, not to save the world, just to look for some common sense. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace.
It'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we will.
Twenty-six before the hour. And by the way, not to beat a real fun dead horse. If you want to watch the what happened in Seattle in its entirety, it's at am1090seattle.com's webpage. Just go there, am1090seattle.com, and you'll find it. It's from last Saturday night. It's long. It's 2 hours worth, but it's. You know, you don't have to wait for the whole thing to download before it starts playing. AM1090Seattle.com. It's all there. The bombing of Zarqawi is having immediate results for the Bush crime family, which is exactly why they killed him when they did. Remember, this man could have been iced several times over the past couple, 3 years, 4 years, but it was not to the advantage of the Bush crime family to put a cap in him until the other day when Bush's ratings are in the toilet, the support for the war is in the toilet. This country is falling apart because of this issue. I can't remember ever the country being more divided. And I don't mean a 50-50 split. Almost 70% of us now are saying get out, but the other 30% are the crazies who control media and who run around screaming and, you know, getting their flecks of their spittle all over your shirt when they're telling you how great murdering Iraqis is. It's that kind of split. But according to CNN, the a CNN poll released today, the poll found that 43% of respondents, now remember, this is not a scientific poll, I don't think, maybe it is. I guess it is. 43% of respondents said the war is going either very or moderately well. Now, that's up from 38% in a March poll. That's pretty cool. 5 percentage points up. All right. But we can find, 30 or 40 more. 30 more. No. 20 more. No. 10 more. If we can find 10 more number two Al-Qaeda people and murder them, then the approval rating will be up to 93%, or the poll of people who think the war is going very well. How's the war going, Mr. Jones? Hi, my name is Mike Malloy. I'm calling from a marketing bureau here, and we want to know how you think the war is going. Oh, we think the war is going very well, Mr. Malloy, especially since that Zarmanakwi, whatever, that guy was killed, the one that attacked the trade towers. We are so glad he's dead. I support the war. 43% of respondents said the war is going either very well or moderately well. How do you say that about a war? What the? Oops. How do you say that about a war? Good afternoon, sir. How do you think the war is going? Oh, very well. You know, as far as wars are concerned. I wish somebody would ask me that question. I wish I would get a phone call from some telemarketing firm that has farmed out the survey to some company in Bangalore, India. Mr. Malloy, could you tell us what you think of this war? Well, so the murder worked out. I'm not that Zarqawi didn't deserve to be murdered or executed or at least put on trial, I guess, if we believe the cover story, if we believe all of this, that... If the videotape, if that really was Zarqawi cutting people's heads off, and, you know, what a sick son of a bitch by our standards. By his standards, it's just, well, it's time to go cut off a head. See you later. Can you have my tea ready when I come back? Sure, honey. Well, you know. But he's gone now, and he could have been gone before he started cutting off heads. Just think. Nick Berg would be alive had Bush murdered Zarqawi when he had a chance 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Chance after chance after chance. But that would have interfered with Bush's plans to invade Iraq to begin with. Degeneracy. The story that has just blown me away. Two stories. The first one I'm not going to give a whole lot of attention to because I guess because American troops are not involved in Gaza, in the Israeli battle with the Palestinians, and the Palestinians' battle with the Israelis. But the attack last weekend, the was it rockets that slammed into a beach? Israeli-fired rockets slammed into a beach in Gaza. And the story that just, another one of those stories that made me scream and cry and pound the bed was the story of the little girl, 8, 9 years old, who was in the water swimming when the rockets hit and it killed her entire family. Her mother, her father, I believe a grandparent or two or three, maybe a brother or a sister, perhaps a cousin. And little Palestinian girl came out of the water scared to death because the rockets had slammed into the beach. And when she came up on the shore, she found her family blown to pieces and dead. And surprise, surprise, there was a video crew right there, and they caught the little girl. Did you see it? You probably saw it. This little 8 or 9-year-old girl stumbling across the beach with the kind of anguish that you'd expect to see on an adult, somebody 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old who had become aware of the cruelties that are available, like a menu for people to choose from. But this was a kid, this little 8 or 9-year-old kid. And I don't know, when I saw that, you know, once again, I wanted to take a spoon and just gouge my eyes out so I'd never have to see anything like that again. And there's that little girl crying and falling down on the sand on the beach, you know, pounding the sand and standing up and running over to the corpse of her father and then running away and then running over to the pile of slashed and burned flesh that had been her mother and then running away and just, Jesus Christ Almighty. You know, if there is a God, if all you religionists are right, if you people are right, I and all the atheists are totally wrong, and there is a God, and there is some sort of consciousness that rules over everything, I'd like you to introduce me to him or her so I could just ram a stick right in his eye and just say, you evil, evil deity. How dare you allow this to happen? It's no different from what Elie Wiesel felt when he saw his contemporaries, other 9 and 10-year-olds back in the 40s, being burned to death in a huge open pit. And he realized there was no God. I guess Mr. Wiesel came back to his religious roots eventually. But that story, the Palestinian child, images that I swear I have seen images in the past 10 years that until I die, are burned into my mental retinas. I'll never be able to separate myself from these images. And they mostly concern children. What happened at Guantanamo doesn't concern children. On Sunday, or was it Saturday, 2 Saudis and a Yemeni hanged themselves with clothes and bed sheets in maximum security cells. That's the story. Either they hanged themselves or they were tortured and murdered by members of the U.S. CIA or the U.S. military or the U.S. NSA. Who knows anymore? See, who knows? Let's go with the official story that they committed suicide. As you know, these are people being held under conditions that, according to prison advocates, for all intents and purposes, had already taken their lives. And when news of this latest Bush crime family demonic activity made it to the global press, several countries have urged Washington to shut the camp down, our so-called allies. I don't know how anyone can be an ally of the United States in what we're doing in Iraq. I really don't. And what we're doing in Guantanamo and what we're doing at Abu Ghraib and what we're doing at Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan and what we're doing on Diego Garcia and what we're doing with rendition and what, you know, on and on and on. I don't see how anybody can align themselves with us unless it would be, oh, I don't know, the Saudis maybe. Sorry if you're a Saudi and you're listening. I don't mean to offend you, but truth is truth. Or if you're a supporter of the Chinese government. If you're Chinese and listening to the program, don't mean to offend you, but truth is truth. You know, okay? Website, cageprisoners.com, it's a website that draws attention to these detainees, said, quote, the blood of these prisoners, detainees, their blood is on the hands of the Bush regime and their deaths will fuel the anger of the global Muslim community. Saudi Arabia's interior ministry identified the two Saudis, gave no further details. One of them was 21 when he hanged himself, meaning he was sent to Guantanamo as a teenager. Saudi Arabia said it was stepping up efforts to repatriate the more than 100 Saudis held at the prison so they could be tried, quote, based on our laws and regulations, end quote. And a Yemeni group, the National Organization for Defending Rights and Freedoms, said it could not accept U.S. accounts of the deaths without an impartial international probe. This comes from Yemen and Saudi Arabia, two countries whose form of justice is about as draconian as they come. And they are shocked.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for the Forward. That's 800-858-5800.
We'll be right back.
American will be allowed to torture another human being anywhere in the world.
So the suicides at Guantanamo, aside from being acts of pure desperation, the denigration of the people and the act, I wrote at my blog site today at Air America Radio, and is that posted on my website, Kathy? MikeMolloy.com. The comments by Colleen Graffy, who is the U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Public Diplomacy, what she had to say. These are really, really sick people. These are really, really, really sick people. I'm talking about the Bush crime family, every single last one of these slugs. She said it was a good PR move to draw attention. You evil, evil person. Colleen Graffy, U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Public Diplomacy, said, quote, "It does sound that this is part of the strategy in that they don't value their own life, and they certainly don't value ours, and they use suicide bombings as a tactic to further their jihadi cause. It was a good PR move to draw attention." Now, this is the sociopath who works with Karen Hughes, the former top aide to Chucklenuts. And Karen Hughes is now a special envoy, of course, charged with trying to improve the U.S. image abroad, especially in Islamic countries. Kuwait, one of the members, one of the people who killed himself was from Kuwait. Walib al-Tatabi, a former member of parliament, called the deaths, quote, "a big question mark over America's human rights record," close quote. And said the United States should release the prisoners or give them fair trials. This is coming from Kuwait. This is from a country that uses the harshest, I believe, I don't know, Saudi Arabia does, the harshest of Islamic law in meting out justice to their prisoners. Tabtabi said, quote, "things should not stay as is at this prison. This would be a black spot in the history of humanity, especially from a country that claims to be modern, that claims to uphold human rights and democracy," end quote. Britain, Germany, and Denmark human rights groups in those countries joined in this condemnation. Britain's constitutional affairs minister, Harriet Harman, asked on BBC television, "if it is perfectly legal and there's nothing wrong there," referring to Guantanamo, "why don't they have it in America?" Hey, sweetheart. Hey, Harriet. Hey, baby. It's not legal. It's evil. It's from hell. It is from the sick mind of the torture advocates that we have running this country. Our attorney general is a torture advocate. Our vice president is a torture advocate. The director of our national intelligence is an active torture advocate. These are the people who run the United States now, Ms. Harman. There have been dozens of suicide attempts at Guantanamo. 41 suicide attempts at the camp reported. So multiply that by 10 or 30 or 50 to get a true number. This is a camp run by the most evil, degenerate, immoral members of the United States military that they could come up with, and the CIA, and the NSA. These are the dregs. I'm not talking about the soldiers and the Marines, although every day they stay there is speaking volumes to their Lord and Savior about who they really are, but I'm talking about the commanders, the leaders, the people who put this hellhole together. The detainees have been there for more than 4 years, no charges. They face indefinite detention, no rights afforded prisoners of war under the Geneva Conventions, or the same rights afforded to somebody who is caught hacking a child to death in this country, has more rights in the U.S. justice system than these people who were swept up in Afghanistan and brought here, brought to Cuba. Do you understand that? Someone who is boiling children in a huge cauldron in their kitchen in, pick a city, Atlanta, and the police bust in. That person has more rights and protections than the people who are being held at Guantanamo on no charges. A man named Shafiq Razul, a British former Guantanamo prisoner who won a U.S. Supreme Court case upholding the inmate's now curtailed right to challenge their detention in the U.S. courts in 2004, said he witnessed suicide attempts while held there. He told Sky Television, the organization owned by the neo-fascist, you know who I mean. He said, quote, there were individuals who had just had enough, couldn't take anymore, were going crazy, who would attempt to kill themselves. And by the way, the U.S. Supreme Court is expected to rule this month on the legitimacy of what we're doing there. The Bush crime family is insisting they have a right to torture and murder and push people to suicide and deprive them of even the most basic, even the kinds of rights that Chinese prisoners have before they are beheaded and their organs sold to, people in the West for transplant. The Navy, the camp's commander, Navy Rear Admiral Harry Harris, said the suicides were an al-Qaeda tactic. He said, quote, they have no regard for life, neither ours nor their own. I believe this was not an act of desperation, but an act of asymmetrical warfare waged against us. That's leadership in the United States military. That's a sick son of a bitch who ought to be cashiered, taken out of the service, and I don't know. I don't know what dropped on the streets of Fallujah in full regalia.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent Budget and rent like a genius.
America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia says of all of his more than 17,000 votes, he's most proud of his 2002 vote in opposition to the war in Iraq. Byrd today becoming the longest-serving U.S. senator in history, passing Strom Thurmond, And with almost 48 years of service, he's not finished yet. He's 88, running for a record 9th term. Dwight Eisenhower was president when Robert Byrd was first elected to the Senate from West Virginia. His fervent opposition to the war in Iraq has earned him a following among young people, many liberals disappointed with initial votes by others in support of the war in Iraq. There is more information now on the three Guantanamo Bay detainees who committed suicide over the weekend. U.S. military officials say one of them was about to be transferred to another country. A second one was allegedly part of an Afghanistan prison uprising. And the third one, they say, had ties to Al-Qaeda. Meanwhile, at the State Department, officials trying to distance themselves today from comments by a Deputy Assistant Secretary of State. Colleen Graffey was talking to British interviewers about the suicides at the Guantanamo Bay Detention Center when she called them, quote, a good PR move to draw attention. A State Department spokesman insists officials do not believe the detainees were involved in a public relations stunt, and they say the department has serious concerns about what happened. At a bail hearing for 14 of the Canadian terror suspects, there are complaints about how some of them are allegedly being treated. One lawyer says a guard beat one of the suspects. Others say their clients are being kept in solitary confinement and are not getting enough time with their families. Five teenager suspects were among those brought into court near Toronto. Two other suspects already behind bars on unrelated charges, and the 17th suspect has a court date next month. Police have said the group was planning terror attacks on targets in Ontario. Outside the courthouse, a defense lawyer questioned whether they are getting a fair hearing. He claims they've already been convicted by everyone from Toronto's mayor to Canada's prime minister. Northwest Airlines and its flight attendants deciding to talk instead of fight in court. 8 out of 10 voting members of the flight attendants union rejected a proposal for pay cuts that Northwest said it needed to keep flying. Strike talk threatened to send both sides into court over the union's right to walk out and the airline's right to impose terms. Northwest warned last month it doesn't have the luxury of returning to the bargaining table, but apparently new talks could begin Wednesday. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. During the break, I'm looking at MSNBC here, Tucker Carlson's program. Of course, I got the sound down because I can't take the sound of his voice. But on the left side of the screen, he lists his topics. Ann Coulter, Duke Rape, Gingrich, Polygamous, Teacher Sex, and MySpace Teen. What is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, possibly 5 of the topics having to do with sex. Nothing up there on Tucker's menu about the report in Rolling Stone from Bobby Kennedy Jr. about the theft of the election in Ohio. I don't ever remember seeing Greg Palast on that program talking about the theft of the election in Ohio and Florida. But let's talk about sex. And I'm not even going to say what Rachel Maddow told me about Tucker Carlson when we were in Seattle. This is from Red Ruby. Dear Mike, during the news break, CNN Radio describes the suicides as acts of war. Red Ruby is listening in Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, a lot of stations around the country, we put out a newscast at the top of every hour. From Air America Radio, but not all of the affiliates carry it. Some carry CNN Radio, some carry CBS Radio, some carry different radio, AP Radio. So what you're hearing is, CNN Radio describing the suicides as acts of war. Jesus God, these people are sick. Now back just a little more here, because this story just unnerved me. People commit suicide out of desperation. One of whom was a teenager when he was scooped up and put in Bush's hellhole. And a Navy rear admiral says the suicides are an act of asymmetrical warfare waged against us. You evil son of a bitch. I can't get my mind around that kind of evilness or evil. I just can't. And this guy is a flag rank naval officer. Jeez. In Saudi Arabia, officials at the semi-official, whatever that means, human rights organization in Saudi Arabia, human rights, please, accused the prison administration of torturing the men to death. That organization in Saudi Arabia said, quote, even if the suicide story is true, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, I have no doubts that they were pushed to it by torture and the lack of attention paid to the health of the detainees. That's according to Saleh Al-Kathlan of the Saudi Human Rights Group. A human rights group in Saudi Arabia? Oh, Jesus, is that funny? But that's the point. That's the reason I'm quoting these Kuwaitis and Yemenis and Saudis. They don't believe in human rights. Come on. And if you are listening and you are a Saudi and you are here as a guest or as an American citizen, I don't care. I don't care what how you respond to what you're hearing me say. I really, it doesn't matter. Facts are facts. You may agree. Maybe that's why you gave up your citizenship in Saudi Arabia and came here. Saudi Arabian human rights organization. Jesus. The Guardian of the UK goes on. Lawyers for the detainees called the comments by administration officials, Harris and Graffey, two lampreys on the Bush crime family body politic, called them deeply offensive. Gitanjali Gutierrez, a lawyer for the Center for Constitutional Rights, which represents most of the detainees, said, quote, it's very clear that any human being who is kept in indefinite detention over 4 years, not given any kind of hearing, and whose life and fate is subject to such uncertainty, inevitably will contemplate suicide, and the fact that three of them finally succeeded comes as no surprise. This is not an act of warfare, he went on. It is a consequence of inhumane and immoral treatment of human beings by the United States, end quote. Listen to that sentence, because that's a true sentence. This is what this Bush son of a bitch has taken this country to. This is what we have been reduced to. This is not an act of warfare. It is a consequence of inhumane and immoral treatment of human beings by the United States. Now, how big a step is it from treating people over whom we have utter and absolute control, these so-called detainees,
We torture them. We shove tubes down their gullets and force-feed them. We beat them to death in wrapped up in sleeping bags. We hang them by their thumbs and elbows and knees. We push them to suicide. We keep them isolated 24/7. This is the United States of America. That's disgusting. This is a country I don't want anything to do with. Not the country, but the leadership. I am ashamed. I am ashamed. I've never been ashamed to be an American. I've never been proud to be an American because I had nothing to do with being American. Wasn't my choice. I was born here. Let's say I was content for the most part. Now I am ashamed. I can't get away from it. I cannot. I'm ashamed. In Britain, the head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission said of the U.S. officials' remarks, this Rear Admiral and this Assistant Secretary of State, quote, "This is the sort of statement that SS officers in Nazi Germany would have been envious of," end quote. Yeah. I'm having a hard time with this one. Maybe you are too. I don't know. Or maybe you are smarter than me and just ignore this kind of story. Huh? You think? Meanwhile, Bush? Did you hear Bush today? He says he expresses serious concern. Serious concern about the deaths. Christy Perrell, a White House spokeswoman, said, quote, "He stressed the importance of treating the bodies in a humane and culturally sensitive manner," end quote. Can you believe that? He stressed the importance of treating the bodies in a humane and culturally sensitive manner. Well, Marjorie Cohn, writing at Truthout today, the subject Spinning Suicide, says Bush resisted the McCain anti-torture amendment to a spending bill at the end of last year. He added one of his signing statements saying that he feels free to ignore the prohibition if he wants to. And Bush and his thugs are fighting in the Supreme Court to deny the Guantanamo prisoners access to U.S. courts to challenge their confinement. Hardly sounds like a man who believes in humane treatment for live human beings. Why should he give a damn about their corpses? And keep in mind that the three men who committed suicide were being held the way we have described at Guantanamo. None had been charged with any crime. All had participated in hunger strikes and then been force-fed, a procedure in itself the United Nations Human Rights Commission calls torture. Mark Denbo, a lawyer for two of the prisoners still there, said, quote, "A stench of despair hangs over Guantanamo. Everyone is shutting down and quitting." He's referring to the prisoners. His client, Mohammed Abdul Rahman, quote, "is trying to kill himself in a hunger strike." The lawyer went on, "He told us he would rather die than stay in Guantanamo." My God. This is what George W. Bush and his cadre of neo-fascists has done to this country. And Reg sent me the Washington Post article from today, violent crime in 2005, that was the year I was looking for, increased at the highest rate in 15 years. Increased at the highest rate in 15 years, driven in large part by a surge of killings and other attacks in many Midwestern cities, the FBI reported yesterday. Unbelievable. Property crime decreased 1.6%. It's the crimes against human beings, murder, beatings, assault, rape, torture. It's all increased. George W. Bush needs to be removed from office.
Side saddle, shouting out orders, twirling two pistols remarkably well.
Legally and peacefully.
When it was over, there's nothing
if
left
possible.
Standing, nothing moving, nothing to say.
They drove the prisoners east to the boats for their hanging from the gallows overlooking Guantanamo Bay. He's a cowboy president, but he wears a black hat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello, I'm Rachel Maddow. The right to vote is the bedrock of our democracy. But recent elections have shown that Americans can't take it for granted. That's why the People for the American Way Foundation is mobilizing Americans to make sure that this time, voters aren't intimidated or disenfranchised when they go to the polls. Together, we can make every vote count and work for progressive American values. You can learn more at pfaw.org.
My one favorite spread has been Smart Balance Buttery Spread. I'm Bob Harris, and I've got another favorite spread that I think you'll love. It's new Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter. It contains no hydrogenated oil, no trans fatty acid, no refined sugar, all natural ingredients, and 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. New Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter with 1,000 milligrams of omega-3. We deep roast premium quality peanuts to make it taste great.
Not a peaceful welcome.
Got to get away. I'm gonna leave the city. Got to to get away. All this fussing and fighting, man, you know I sure can't stay. Now, baby, if I can leave it, but you know we've got to leave.
21 past the hour. We're just a moment away from coming to your phone calls. The number here is 866-303-2270. I think there might be an open line or two. Just got an email here from Stacy in Seattle. Very nice email that I'm not going to share with you because it's kind of personal. But she has a little footer on it. It's a quote from Edward R. Murrow. And the quote is, "A nation of sheep will beget a government of wolves." That's a good one, Stacy. Thanks for writing, Stacy. I do appreciate it. It's difficult to not to notice. In this email I got, the blogosphere has been abuzz, but in the days since Rolling Stone magazine published a long piece by RFK Jr. accusing the Republicans of widespread and intentional cheating that affected the outcome of the last presidential election, the silence in America's establishment media has been deafening. But there's no surprise there. American media, so-called, both print and electronic, made it very clear years ago that they didn't give a damn. Didn't affect them. Bush wins, Gore wins, who cares? Didn't offend, absolutely did not affect them. Being above it all, in a manner of speaking. Actually being so deeply entrenched into right-wing main thought. What am I trying to say? Right-wing mainstream thought. And being nothing more than a functioning arm of the Bush crime family, they couldn't care less. They couldn't care less. Nothing. Have you seen anything? Anything about this massive article by RFK Jr.? Did you hear anything about all the research that Greg Palast did? Every time I read anything in mainstream media that refers to Greg Palast, it was always in kind of a snide, crappy-ass kind of way. When's Greg going to be on the program, Kathy? Next week? Next week. All right. Let's take some phone calls. All right. You want to do that? Let's do it. Let's start with Jen, who is calling from New York City. Jen, thanks for holding on. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm scared. I live in Manhattan, and we spend half a trillion dollars a year on defense, and yet NORAD never scrambled on 911. Where were they?
Well, they were ordered not to, is one theory. They were ordered to keep the hell out of the way because the Bush crime family and the Project for a New American Century and the neocons and the war lovers in this country were wanting their plan to unfold, if not their plan, a plan that they were fully aware of and would have benefits directly and indirectly for them. So where was NORAD? They were told to stay out of it. That's one theory.
So they killed us.
I would call it murder.
Well,
yeah, I know. It's difficult to get your mind around that, isn't it, Jen?
They just killed us?
Well, you tell me. I mean, everybody has a theory. The sheep in this country say, no, we accept the official story just the way the Bush crime family put it out. The people who still have shreds of thinking ability left are questioning the whole 9/11 story. I put myself in the latter camp. I don't believe the story as it was put out. Now, whatever conclusion, once you disbelieve the official story, and your guideposts are set out there by people who are doing independent research, who are trying desperately to take strike a trail through this wilderness. Once you decide to do that, it's easy to get lost. It's easy to get lost in anger and rage and incomprehensibility and disbelief. Like your feeling. They killed us?
But I know people who died. I know people who almost died. this really happened.
And it just couldn't be possible, could it, that members of this administration allowed it to happen or made it happen? That's what I thought, Jen. When you get to the point where you're willing to kill your own citizens, a la Stalin or Hitler or Mao or any dictator, totalitarian over the course of history, when you get to that point, then anything is possible and probable. So that's a decision you have to make. I've made my decision. I do not believe the official story at all. I know something horrible happened to this country on September 11th, 2001. And the question I'll have, and probably the question you have, when we go to our respective graves, Jen, will be what really happened. I don't know that we'll ever know. Jen, I got to leave it there. Thank you. I appreciate you checking in. I'm sorry if I made you feel bad. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right. Your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
In TV, you need intelligence, integrity, and a camera to cover the news. They've got the camera.
Were we rolling on that?
On what?
Comedy Central's Dog Bites Man. This Wednesday night at 10:30, 9:30 Central. They're the news team that won't stop until they get the big story.
Are all bodybuilders bisexual? Is spring break broken?
Well, certain stories are good for sweeps week. We've tackled what's in your muffin. Who else is going to go there?
Dog Bites Man. This Wednesday night at 10:30, 9:30 Central. Only on Comedy Central.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Why did I get a show? Well, maybe it's because I'm not afraid to say what we're all thinking. First, politicians. You get paid to work, not talk. Start fixing gas prices. Get serious about Iraq, Iran, and immigration. Next, Britney, Paris, Tom, Katie. What kind of idols do our kids have these days? I'm just looking for a little common sense here and there. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
26 before the hour. A quick email here. Angie wrote this in, referring to the Bush crime family Lampreys, who made the statement about the suicides were an act of war or aggression. Angie writes, these people are so mentally pornographic they have lost touch with reality. The endless ego masturbation they give themselves, and which comes so enthusiastically and ceaselessly from our hand-licking sycophant followers, from their hand-licking sycophant followers, has turned them into swine, binging on self-deification. To publicly announce to the entire world that three tortured souls committed suicide just for good PR is a lurid snapshot of the horrible truth. This is what it looks like when the clinically insane are running a country. How self-adoring do you have to be to see people who kill themselves to escape the court torture you endlessly punish them with as an irritating display of aggression? I've never been so afraid of the future, Angie writes. I've never felt so sick to my stomach. It's so hard to believe these people have not been dragged off to padded prison cells. I can't fathom this. I must be sleeping and dreaming, and this is a nightmare. This can't happen, because it's impossible. Yeah. I hear you, Angie. 25 before the hour. Oh, my. Brother Sky Blue is calling from Memphis. Brother Sky, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Good evening, Mike. We've turned into the summer hurricane watch. We've got a hurricane party going on here in Memphis down around Beale Street.
Well, that's good.
The sun's, of course, Mike, you know, I grew up next door to Johnny Cash's sister, and I'm affiliated with Elvis. Of course, he stole my high school sweetheart, Linda Thompson, from me. But And, of course, Jerry Lee Lewis, he's a friend of mine. Say, you met Rachel Maddow's partner and her parents, huh?
Oh, the great, great. What a family. What a family they all are.
Yeah, I think Rachel's pretty. Say, Mike, you know, you're talking about social conscience. Yeah, I see these young children in Iraq. President Bush says the media doesn't focus enough on the good things happening in Iraq. I don't know, was he talking about water wells getting started or electric? All I see is these sad little children like you were talking. You know, you were talking a couple months ago about the rock and roll music and what it played in our social conscience. Of course, you know, Neil Young and Bruce Springsteen and the Dixie Chicks, they've all come out with the anti-war. Cindy Sheehan, you know, of course, I'm the president of the normal national organization legalized marijuana, recreational and medicinal marijuana here in Tennessee. And we got this dilemma coming up. These Mexicans that are closed off at border, we can't get no good marijuana, fresh marijuana up coming up through Mexico. There.
Oh, man, really?
I bet they got some good stuff up in Seattle. I haven't been up there in about 25 years. I hear that it's easy to get that good stuff across the border there.
Well, you know what they say, Brother Sky, think globally, buy locally.
Well, you know, they passed a law here locally. You can't buy a can of beer unless you have a state identification card. It's just a thorn in the flesh. These poor Mexicans, they work all day and they ain't got no ID. They can't even buy themselves. You know, it's Guantanamo Bay. Yeah, that's a tradition in Isle of Pines. You know, Fidel Castro started that prison, the resort prisons down there with the Isle of Pines. Yeah, wait till that Gulf Coast down here, wait till them casinos, they build them, wait till Fidel Castro dies and casinos move into Cuba. Yeah, America's all about prisons. Yeah, we want to lock people up for trying to, God said, behold, I gave you every green herb on the face of the earth.
Benefit. Amen.
I can't grow marijuana.
Amen.
Yeah, I can't have polygamy.
Hallelujah. Go, Brother Skin. No, don't stop. Go. Is he gone?
He lost me at polygamy.
He was starting to preach, and that hasn't happened for a long time. When Brother Sky first started calling in 4, 5, 8, 20 years ago, whatever it's been, seems like forever. He's been in my consciousness forever, it seems like. But he used to call in, and he would start to preach. And I don't know, something's happened. I think he's got an apartment. He goes to parties now. He's got a little Vespa motorbike. He's got a cell phone that now stays charged. I don't know, something's happened, Brother Sky.
It's getting too gentrified.
Is that it? Gentrifying. Well, Brother Sky, we love you here on the Malloy program, and I wish you would call in and preach sometime, either about Emanuel Swedenborg or your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ or anybody you want to preach about. I love preaching. Oh, I love preaching, especially when the rhythm gets going. You understand what I'm saying? When you do that little, I love that. And the Lord said, it's time to step down. You know, that kind of thing that you only hear in Southern preachers, black and white, you know.
Or Tom DeLay.
Yeah, that too. Will is calling from Brooklyn. Will, welcome to the program. Thank you for holding on.
No problem, Mike. Just want to talk about the Gitmo suicides, how they were
yes.
asymmetrical warfare because it was the news. Our government is the same. We pay for good news stories in Iraq. Right? We show big posters of Zarqawi, and we release information about what kind of underwear was in his hideout when we bombed it. But I haven't heard what was on the suicide notes. Have you?
I haven't either. And I understand that suicide notes were left. We should be given this good information, right?
Right. I mean, it's the underwear. But it's a problem when Bush is listening to the generals on the ground, and they spend most of their day underground in the green zone. They don't do any body counts, so we have no idea how many Iraqi civilians have perished. And the number of American wounded in action is somewhere between 20 and 50,000. I don't know why there's that 30,000 is how you count the injuries or something, but...
That's a casualty figure. I don't think we'll ever know how many people were murdered in Iraq by U.S. Policy and the policies enforced by the U.S. put in place by the U.N. During the 12 years of a siege. You know, it's also against the rules of war, such a thing, the Geneva Conventions, to put a country or a city under siege because it cuts them off from. Humane the supplies necessary for a person to live, clean water, food, medicines, and yet we were content to do it for 12 years. That's after we filled their country with depleted uranium from Gulf War I. The United States has not a clear conscience about anything where it concerns Iraq. Even the first attack against Iraq had to do with a setup put in place by George Herbert Walker Bush where it concerned Kuwait and Saudi Arabia and Iraq. And how many hundreds of thousands of people did we butcher directly and indirectly in Iraq? The U.S.-Iraq story, I think, is going to enter history as one of the most hideous, heinous, horrifying chapters of U.S. policy in the history of this nation.
The amazing thing is how Bush... They go about pretending like it's not really happening. Like on Memorial Day, for example, he went to go honor the unknown soldier. Now, why go honor something that represents something when he can go to the real thing and go to a funeral of someone, a perished hero from Iraq?
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
You have to squeeze the concern out of them like pulling teeth.
I hear you. All right. Thanks for checking in, Will. Let me see here. Sandy is calling from Boston. Sandy, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Mike. It was amazing that on Sunday, when the announcement came out about the suicides, a group that has formed for justice and peace at our local church was scheduled to have an observance of international, Torture Awareness Month, which sounds kind of awful, but it's, I guess there's just so much going on in the world that a number of organizations like Amnesty International and several others have co-sponsored this calling June 2006 Torture Awareness Month. So we took that as our theme, and I just wanted to let your listeners know, people may know this, but maybe not, that apparently the secrecy of the whole torture and detention thing is the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think that they wouldn't care that if you write a letter that it wouldn't make any difference. And apparently one letter wouldn't make any difference. And you think what it's going to say is going to be important. Well, it isn't. What is important is the number of letters. So, and when they're written to a particular prisoner by name.
Yes, yeah, I've done that.
Mm-hmm. It embarrasses them. It lets them know that they're not doing this in secret. And so apparently this is the major way that people could make a difference. So we're going to be writing, and we actually had on our sheet, none of the people, as far as I can tell, were ones that actually committed suicide, but they have a number of actions that, you know, with specific addresses to write to,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, case histories, and then they have as a group the people on the hunger strike.
Hey, hold on a second, because I want to talk to you a little bit more about this, and I've got to take a break. Can you hold on, Sandy?
Sure.
All right, we'll come back after the break. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
America Radio.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
Thank you.
10 before the hour. Going right back to Sandy here in just a second. Mike in Rochester, New York, wrote in with, I won't read the whole email, but the prisoners committing suicide and then being referred to this was an act of aggression or an act of war. Mike compares it to a fox caught in a leg hold trap that gnaws its leg off in order to free. That's an free itself. That's an act of aggression? Yeah. I hear you, Mike. All right, back to Sandy. Now, you're talking about, I assume you're talking about the program set up by Amnesty.
Yeah.
Yeah, the letter writing program that I've participated in, oh gosh, going back 20 years, and I think it's powerfully effective. And I think what you're describing, the secrecy of these Bush monsters, they understand how powerfully effective it is when actual names are put out there and people around the world can write letters of protest and support.
Yeah, maybe that's why they were so reluctant to put the names out for such a long time. But
sure.
I got to thinking during the break that actually I found most of the information that I shared with this group on the Amnesty International UK website, not the Amnesty International USA.
Really?
Yeah, which isn't too surprising because they don't actually, they said that they often don't really have people going after people in their own country. And they had some song and dance about that, but I said, the heck with that. I feel responsible as an American citizen for this, you know, what's being done in my name, and I don't want it done, and I intend to write about it, and the heck with that. So,
well, now, are there lists of names at the Amnesty UK? What is it? Just Amnesty International UK?
Yeah, I think it was UK.org.
Okay.
But if you Google, what I did was I didn't even know that when I started out. I just Googled Guantanamo torture, right, and I did Guantanamo hunger strike. And now that I know that Amnesty is on the case, I'd put Amnesty in the Google thing, too.
Yeah.
I'm not right in front of my computer, so I couldn't tell you the exact thing, but UK was part of the name, and it was a very simple name, too. I think it was probably Amnesty.
Okay, well,
UK.org.
Yeah, right, people can Google it, and they will find it. There's no question about it. All right, well,
there's one other thing I wanted to say. Have you spoken about what Randy brought up on her program about a film called The Power of Nightmares?
Months ago, we talked about that film, which was, I guess, put together by a British filmmaker.
Yeah, BBC.
Right. Yeah.
And you know why I bring that up in connection with this is because I think that for so many of us, they're wondering how in the world could people who claim to be motivated by religion and political ideals be doing all of this stuff?
Oh, that's an easy one to answer, Sandy. Just take a look at the history of Christianity.
Well, not only that, but look at the history of this conflict going back to this guy from Egypt and how he's influenced the neoconservatives and the Islamic extremists. I found it fascinating.
Yeah.
It absolutely transformed my understanding of the situation.
Yeah, well, that's the transformational information is, I think, what we're all looking for.
Yeah.
I just wish more right-wingers would get their get that into their heads. Sandy.
Yeah, thanks. That's for sure.
Let me leave it there. I appreciate you checking, and you have a good night, okay?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Yeah, it's not for me anyway, hard to understand. And even people who are true Christians, people who truly believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and even people who don't, that believe Jesus was an avatar of God, or even the third case, people who just believe he was a human, there is no God, but Jesus had a pretty profound message. Any of those people will, if they're honest, will acknowledge the history of Christianity as a history of blood and death and destruction and torture and pain and just vile, vile incidences that stretch back over centuries. It's always been anti-science. It's always been anti-life. It's always been about conquering and destroying and forcing and bludgeoning. And I'm sorry. I don't mean I'm sorry. I don't mean I'm apologizing. I just say I feel sorrow that the message of the man from Galilee was so perverted and prostituted and degraded and smashed into a million shards of poisonous fish hooks by the so-called Christians. It's horrifying. It's just horrifying. So it is not difficult for me, anyway, to understand that in order to be totalitarian, you must to be someone who believes in the righteousness of your cause. I don't think Stalin really believed in the righteousness of his cause, because if I believe history, he was a Ukrainian peasant who was atheistic. On the other hand, maybe maybe the Orthodox Church in Russia had gotten to his addled brain too. But if you look at most of the most vile European dictators, they have been horribly and tortures. They were horribly influenced by Christianity. If you look at some of the most vile Middle Eastern dictators, they were horribly influenced by Islam or perverted Islam. I can't speak to the Far Eastern religions because, I don't know that much about them. Isn't it interesting that the Jews never went on a crusade to butcher Christians and take back the Holy Land? Now, I know. Don't send me the email. Don't send it. Because you will use the example of the inflow of Jews after World War II into Palestine and what happened there. I understand, but you know what I'm talking about. Historically. But Christianity, I think, is the world leader. It's a world-class leader in butchery, lies, theft, destruction, genocide, deceit, duplicity, fear, hatred, divisiveness. Have I left anything out?
On Air America Radio.
If you're $10,000 in credit card debt or more and are making minimum monthly payments but getting nowhere, Debt Relief USA has the answer. Call 1-800-516-6567 now. Debt Relief USA has ways through special programs to reduce your principal and interest. You may qualify to reduce your credit card debt as much as 75%. Just call 1-800-516-6567 for a risk-free debt analysis. Stop losing sleep over annoying, harassing phone calls. Don't even consider bankruptcy until you know your options. We cannot help unless you call 1-800-516-6567 today. Our debt relief specialists understand and know the answer to getting you out of credit card debt fast. Just one call will put your life back on track. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card debt, call for a free debt evaluation at 1-800-516-6567 for the relief you need. Debt Relief USA is helping Americans re-secure their financial future one client at a time, excluding Maryland and New York.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Just 12 days into the new hurricane season, forecasters issued their first hurricane warning Monday. It was prompted by the unexpected strengthening of Tropical Storm Alberto as it moved northeast in the Gulf of Mexico on a line that takes it to the northwest Florida coast. Evacuation orders were issued for people in low-lying coastal areas as a precaution. The website used by the Al-Qaeda terrorists in Iraq posted a declaration Monday that a successor has been put in place to slain leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. It says the group's Iraqi council has chosen Sheikh Abu Hamza al-Mahazir. Terrorism experts in the U.S. are not familiar with the name and suggest it may be to cover his real identity out of fear that he could meet Zarqawi's fate. Many of the more than 3,000 inmates on death rows across the country are learning about a decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to allow a challenge of the use of lethal injection. The court cleared the way for condemned Florida convict Clarence Hill to proceed with his claim that the lethal drug cocktail inflicts unnecessary pain, a violation of his constitutional rights. A St. Louis company that watched its plant explode and burn is now moving to Illinois. Benjamin Yacht has more on Praxair's move and what it means.
60 jobs to start, $3.5 million in renovations to a new Cahokia home, and a big boost to the state's economy, according to the governor's administration. Andrew Ross, with Commerce and Economic Opportunity, says the state's kicking in almost $1 million to ease the move, but he says Praxair is part of a growing trend.
Companies are talking with their feet, and they're coming to Illinois. They're expanding in Illinois.
Praxair makes industrial gases. Their plant in St. Louis exploded and burned in a raging inferno almost a year ago. Ross says the move's great for the Metro East and the rest of the state. In Springfield, I'm Benjamin Yant.
Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger continues to be listed in serious but stable condition following a motorcycle accident Monday morning. The Royal Jewels arrive on the auction block in London Tuesday as valuables for the collection of the late Princess Margaret are put up for sale. The sister of Queen Elizabeth died in 2002, and the auction was announced to help the family meet the British inheritance tax bill of nearly $4 million. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. We'll be right back.
7 past the hour. Welcome back. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know how I made such a glaring error. I knew this, but about 6 of you have let me know that Stalin was not Ukrainian. He was Georgian. My bad. Once again, thanks for the correction. But I knew that. I swear I knew that. And Reggie emails in, the Amnesty site is amnesty.org.uk. That is the British Amnesty organization to get the information that our caller was talking about. Amnesty.org.uk. Email. Hi, Mike. And then 2 or 3 paragraphs, and this. This Haditha thing, it's horrible, and no surprise. Even if that particular incident turns out to be the opposite of what it seems to be, and it won't, there is a massacre somewhere else in Iraq. I'm certain of this, as I am that the sun will rise tomorrow morning. I am young and naive. I don't know where or when or how many died. I know this because war is senseless massacres and torture and people reduced to bits of rotting meat on the ground. There's nothing unclear about it, yet a large portion of the U.S. population apparently doesn't see that. Okay, here's where I say something I haven't heard anyone else say. Everything, it seems, comes down to nothing more than the ability to face truth without fear. They, all caps, not they, all lowercase, understand physical strength, intimidation, things like that, not strength of mind, and it's minds that decide to continue a failed invasion. It's a human sacrifice. A few people bring pain and death to thousands in an effort to change truth. And yet truth remains the same. Just amazing. I'm not sure why, but it's this kind of thing that convinces me that there is a God, and he is neither kind nor merciful. Hope to email you again soon. Incidentally, was this at all insightful? I hate to waste time. And it's signed Rapture in Madison, Wisconsin. P.S. That's not really my name, but I thought I'd take one of their favorite words as an internet name in an effort to twist its meaning. Insightful? Sure. I guess, but that's a question you have to answer, Rapture. You know, as far as I can tell, insight is strictly personal. I don't think you can ask someone about your insights. But if you're asking me, sure, it's insightful. Thanks, Rapture. And this from Kim, and then back to your phone calls. Kim writes... When the news first broke, talking about the three suicides, when the news first broke over Canadian news, they reported that, quote, 3 prisoners had been found non-responsive, close quote, in their cells. The quote's still open. Suicide is suspected. All right, close quote. That's what the Canadian news, according to Kim, how they reported it. Then Kim goes on, I would have thought if they were hanged, there would not have been much doubt. Then last night on BBC, the reporter was questioning how this could have happened, considering that they were in the highest maximum security part where the lights are on 24 hours a day they are filmed every 30 seconds. Later, the timing was altered to they were filmed every 2 minutes. And it was not understood how no one noticed anything in any of the 3 cells. Maybe some of your other listeners heard this as well, Kim. Yeah, maybe so. I have to wonder about the suicides. The Bush killers would not, I don't think, want word to get out. Maybe they would, that people are committing suicide in their torture centers. On the other hand, the suspicion of, was it the Saudi or the Kuwaiti government human rights person who is suspicious of the whole idea of suicide to begin with and said, I doubt that they were suicided, my word, Bush's word. I think they were tortured to death. Who knows? What we do know is that the Bush crime family and Rumsfeld and his perverted Pentagon and down through the chain of command will lie. Every single one of these pigs will lie. They put out propaganda. There is a huge government organization now headed by John Poindexter, that has fallen completely off the radar screen after being so embarrassingly discovered about what he was going to do with the Total Information Awareness Network. But between John Poindexter of Iran-Contra infamy and John Negroponte of Iran-Contra infamy, every single piece of information that comes from the chain of command, the top levels of the United States military now, is a filthy, disgusting lie. Every single statement. And what's painful to me, and it is to watch these DOD briefings, not the DOD briefings, but the military briefings that are transmitted from Iraq daily, and the news organizations take them live sometimes if they're going to talk about butcherings and beheadings and massacres and things of that sort. But to watch the upper ranks of the U.S. military in Iraq, from colonels on up, standing there, telling what they know to be lies and watching not just their body language. It's hard to watch body language on a military man or woman because they've been trained to eliminate it. But they can't eliminate all of it. To watch their eyes, to watch how they respond to the questions that come from this addled group of freaks who sit there and ask the questions, and to realize that these officers are lying and they know they're lying. That's the part that is very disconcerting to me. I understand that the first casualty of war is truth. I understand that. Always has been, always will be. But to watch colonels and generals in what was once an honorable U.S. military command standing there, lying, day after day. How do they do that? How can these people so utterly, utterly disregard whatever honor comes with serving in the United States military? I can't get my mind around that. And I realize that I'm probably being horribly naive. Maybe I'm just buying into 200 years of history, you know, the good part. Not the Smedley Butler charges, not the Mark Twain charges, not the, you know, down through the history of the U.S. military, there have been those insiders, those high-ranking officers, or those winners of all sorts of combat awards who have said it's all a sham, a hoax, a joke, a sick joke. It's not what it seems to be, the so-called honor in the United States military. I don't know, because I have not served in the military. I have no idea. I remember my uncle, now dead, coming back from World War II as a sergeant, and his stories, and they seemed honorable. All right, back to your phone calls. Herb is calling from Mississippi. Hey, Herb, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
You were just talking about Mike. I happen to know a little something about myself.
Yes, Sergeant.
There is nothing honorable about war. There is nothing honorable at all when you're trying to kill somebody. There's no honor in it. I'm sorry. That's just the way I feel about it.
I hear you, Sarge.
I did want to call and discuss what you were talking about earlier about crime rate.
Yes.
And I couldn't help but stop and say, Mike, you're not thinking about Katrina. You're not thinking about my people on the Mississippi coast. You're not thinking about our people in New Orleans. This filthy bunch of degenerate lowlifes has caused crime in our area to increase threefold.
Yeah, I left that part out. You're absolutely right, Herb.
We have, my sister called me tonight, and she told me that down there, everybody is suspicious of everybody else because now the contractors have started not wearing any IDs and stuff like this.
Hey, Herb, hold on. Hold the thought right there because I got a break. Down there is where? Where's your sister live?
Huh?
Where does your sister live?
Goshen.
Okay, hold on. I got to do a break. We'll come back and finish this up. We're talking with Herb in Mississippi. You all know Herb. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. One of the best things about getting an 8-pound Orrick XL vacuum is what you don't get, namely, a cloud of dust in your face every time you turn it on or when you empty it, which means you won't get a house full of bacteria that travels on dust. Call 1-800-989-4200 for free literature or a free 30-day home trial. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Orrick XL. 1-800-989-4200.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I know. Who's he? I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Now, why would Headline News give me a show? Maybe because politically correct really isn't in my vocabulary. It's time somebody says what we're all thinking, from politics to pop culture. Every night, Headline News sets me loose. Not to save the world, just to look for some common sense. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
22 past the hour, we're talking with Herb in Mississippi. All right, the increase in crime rates that I was talking about earlier in the program because of Bush policies, and Herb wants to add to that the crime that has been generated by abandoning the Gulf Coast where Katrina hit, right?
That's right, and I can tell you this much, it's worse than you'd ever dream. I remember what Loki said when you interviewed him, and by the way, he and I have teamed up together.
Oh, good.
And he's with PowersandMorrison.com now. He's writing a column, too, and he and I have a special deal we're working on together to benefit people on the Mississippi coast. And
well, that's good.
Louisiana.
And for people that don't know, Sarge, let me just say it. PowersandMorrison.com is a blog site where Sarge writes and now Loki writes. So check it out, PowersandMorrison.com.
I appreciate that plug. Thank you, Mike. But I want to tell people we've got more hurricanes coming. It's going to be a worse season. The water temperatures in the Gulf and in the Atlantic did not decrease much at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they are super hot right now. And folks, y'all have got some hard times in front of you if you get one. And the country has a hard time because it's going to cost us. And it's going to cost us dearly. Y'all didn't want to sit back. You didn't want to impeach Bush. You didn't want to get your congressmen, your senators involved. Now you're going to pay for it, just like you did.
I hear that, Herb.
Okay, Mike, thank you. I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you giving me my say.
All right, thanks. Sergeant Herb, talk to you again. Appreciate your call, sir. Ken is, don't ever call a sergeant, sir. Ken is calling from Tucson. Ken, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How about you, Ken?
I'm doing good. You know, what you were talking about before about being, you know, embarrassed or ashamed being American, I've always been proud to be an American, not because I felt we were better than anybody else, but I always felt that despite all of our warts and our mistakes and some of the terrible things we did, like in Central America in the 80s, that we were always working to be better and making progress.
Right. Well, that's it. Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. I've never felt any arrogance either about being an American because, you know, I'm an American. I had no choice in it. I happen to be born here. That's all.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I know what you mean. I always felt that kind of hope, the pride had to do with hope and the fact that I bought into the story that we were a society that really believed in justice, even though it took us an awful long time to allow women to vote, to allow people of color to vote, just on and on and on, just essential, elemental things like voting. But I always had the hope. So I know what you mean.
Exactly. And I was career military, and now I spent a lot of times overseas, and now I am ashamed. I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm ashamed. You know, I almost feel like I have to explain myself.
I know.
But that's not why you were talking about that. I just wanted to mention. But have you know, I mean, the dollar seems to be just going down. I mean, I've read that Russia and China are not only, you know, getting rid of, you know, a lot of their dollars, but they're cutting way down on the T-bills they've been buying. And I don't see it or hear it talked about anywhere, even on like the market-oriented, business shows.
Well, no, they're not going to talk about it there. I think it was Noam Chomsky or somebody. I'm pretty sure it's Chomsky. Recently, he has a book out. I think I'm getting this right. Failed States. And it talks about the United States being in that group now of failed states. Zimbabwe would be a good example that people like you and me can understand immediately. That's a failed state. But what Chomsky is saying is that the U.S. now is entering into that circle of nations that are failing. And one of the key elements of a failed state is a dictatorial leadership that has zero respect for law, human rights. And if Chomsky is right, if we are a failed state, the rest of the world is not as stupid as a lot of American conservatives think they are, and especially those nations that have spent an awful lot of their taken a lot of their currency and invested it in our debt. And if the dollar is falling, if things are going to hell economically, I think it would be. I'm not an economist, and I don't even play one on the radio. But I think it has a lot to do with the fact that all of a sudden, the countries that have been shoring up the United States financially are starting to back off, and they're saying, "Wait a second, this country is going to go down the pipes."
Yeah, I think so. A good book for you to read, it's called A Few Great Captains, about some of the captains that started, that were in the old Army Air Corps and helped build the Air Force, and you'll find out what happens to officers that really believe the stuff about being loyal to the Constitution and to the country instead of politics. It's called A Few Great Captains.
A Few Great Captains?
Yeah, you'll see some of the great names in Air Force history.
All right, sounds good. All right, Ken, thanks for the tip. Got a boogie. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. We'll be right back.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
In TV, you need intelligence, integrity, and a camera to cover the news. They've got the camera.
Were we rolling on that?
On what?
Comedy Central's Dog Bites Man. Tomorrow night at 10:30, 9:30 Central. They're the news team that won't stop until they get the big stories.
Are all bodybuilders bisexual? Is spring break broken?
Well, certain stories are good for sweeps week. We've tackled what's in your muffin. Who else is going to go there?
Dog Bites Man. Tomorrow night at 10:30, 9:30 Central. Only on Comedy Central.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read The Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for The Forward. That's 800-641-2626.
You're on the Ovaltine Nutrition Hotline with nutritionist Felicia Stoller.
Felicia, I know that flavoring milk is a good way to get my kids to drink more milk, but is there a difference in chocolate milk flavorings?
There really is. Compare the nutrition in rich chocolate Ovaltine to Nesquik powder and see the difference. Ovaltine contains over twice as many vitamins and minerals as Nesquik, so Ovaltine's more nutritious. And kids love the taste of rich chocolate Ovaltine. When it comes to nutrition, Ovaltine's the better choice.
More Ovaltine, please!
We'll be right back.
understand the anguish that some feel about the death that takes place. But I grieve for every death.
Twenty-six past the hour. A.E. writes in regarding the suicide notes. Mike, we haven't seen the suicide notes because the writers still haven't gotten the final drafts back from the editor. Just be patient. You know how hard it is to meet a writing deadline. Yeah, well, I also know how easy it is to become hideously cynical. Oh, gosh. Eileen writes from New York City, well, I've made my decision about 9/11. There's no way that Bush and et al. Didn't know it was going to happen. I'm convinced they planned and executed it. If you want to know how they feel about average American citizens, you only have to remember American bodies floating in the water of New Orleans and their savage treatment and continuing neglect of the lost and terrified survivors. They cut our budget here in New York City by millions of dollars for Homeland Security. Gone. Now I know that they probably have a particular loathing for New Yorkers and New Orleanians since we didn't vote for Bush's ugly white ass, but it's indicative of their sociopathic mindset. As David Ray Griffin said in his book, A New Pearl Harbor, quote, who stands to benefit? Close quote. We all know the answer. Eileen from New York City. In fact, your phone calls. Reno is calling from Calgary, Canada. Thanks for your patience, Reno. Welcome to the program.
Hey there, Mike. How's it going?
It's going fine. How are you, sir?
Oh, not bad at all, man. You know, this Bush, he just drives me crazy. He reminds me more of King Louis from Mel Brooks' History of the World. Have you seen that movie?
Oh, yeah, about 30 times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, I love my people. Paul, you know, skeet shooting, and he's blowing them out of the air. You know,
right.
The hypocrisy. But, yeah, no, it's the mainstream media. They're so in bed with Bush, it isn't funny. Just all of them. You can't even tell who's on top anymore. You were talking about Kennedy's article. Snow got asked one question about that.
Really?
Oh, yeah, just one. I checked the transcripts for the logs, and this one question was, wait, does President Bush have any opinion or anything about this? And he had a one-word answer. He just said no. And then the media yucked it up for a minute, and that was the end of it, dropped subject.
Yeah.
You know, like, when does stealing an election become non-news? I really just don't get it.
Well, you've said it a second ago. When the mainstream media in this country is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Bush crime family, they don't care. They just don't give a damn. These so-called reporters and news readers on television are and in the major newspapers are content to be part of the problem. They are content to have to be channels of information back and forth for the CIA. They are liars, thieves. Do you know that the news media in this country is held in lower esteem, I think, than members of Congress, which are in turn held in lower esteem than criminals, thieves, and murderers? That's how bad it's gotten. Now,
yeah.
I always have to put a qualifier on here. There are journalists who operate in that swamp of filth who are still very, very good.
They usually get shouted down, though.
Well, I'm talking about people like Bob Herbert, who writes for The Times. I'm talking about Paul Krugman, who writes for The Times. There are still some writers that are trying to keep their heads out of the swill and the slime, and some of them are maintaining. But I always feel like I want to, and I must make that qualifying statement, because it's not 100% down the toilet yet.
Well, this is true. They do have some really interesting twists that they like to put on things. The latest one was Zakari. You know, we saw him on CNN, you know, his face plastered there, framed, which is a really interesting way to put it.
You know, anybody that has any doubt that this administration is not a cult of death only has to take a look at how this dead face of this man has been plastered all over everything. Jesus Christ, they're going to put a postage stamp with this corpse face on it.
And now they're promoting his replacement. So, you know, here we go for round two, right? But what's just the subliminal message is CNN's presenting his replacement. The guy's name means the immigrant.
Oh,
good,
you're
timing
kidding,
for that.
Man.
No, I'm serious, man. It was right on CNN.
Oh, my God.
Like, can we just, like, put another nail in this coffin? This is just getting too stupid.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Reno, thanks for checking in. Sorry I had you on hold for so long. I appreciate it. Take care, okay?
No worries, Mike.
All right. I guess last week we talked a bit about these death worshipping Bush bastards and their cohorts in the media and the military. This framed photograph of this dead Zakhawi that the military is putting up on a easel every time they hold a press conference now. There's this corpse face. And CNN and MSNBC and Fox and ABC, CBS, NBC, all, you know, it's just over and over and over again. Do you have any doubt? If you listen to this program on a regular basis, you know I accuse these sons of bitches of running a cult of death. They are anti-life, just totally anti-life. Do you have any doubt when you see this fetishization of a corpse? This particular corpse, what is up with this? Other than some sort of a perversion that goes way beyond necrophilia, and well, no, maybe that's exactly where it goes, right into necrophilia. They are having invisible sex with this dead body. It's almost too much sometimes, isn't it?
Huh?
Yeah, I know. Doug is calling from Memphis. Doug, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Doug.
On that email I sent you earlier, forget what I said. I almost insinuated I wasn't mad as hell anymore. That's grounds for a drug test.
Yeah, it is.
just to point real quick, a few things I jotted down here so I don't run off into a rant on the suicides. Whether it's proven that this was set up through the Bush cabal, or it was in the true definition of suicide and self-inflicted, to me, the point is moot. The Bush administration are still guilty of this, simply for the fact that these detainees, these prisoners...
Doug, hold on a second. Can you get out of the wind? The wind is blowing into the transmitter of your cell phone, and we can't hear you. It's driving us crazy.
Okay, is this better?
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay, their whole situation is predicated on the situation they were put in by this administration illegally. So as far as I'm concerned, whether it was suicide by true definition or a setup, either way, it's neither here nor there. And the one lady spoke to Amnesty International and letters and everything.
Uh-huh.
And that's noble, and we should not discontinue that. But there comes a time, you know. This administration has reached Mao Zedong proportions here. And in the same words of Jim Morrison, that one song he did, you can't petition the Lord, you can't petition a despot.
Yeah.
You know, there's a time, and it's getting real close, where we're going to have to just go out in the street and stand up and shout to the top of our lungs. They will notice that. The only thing they're going to notice after that is the discharge end of a gun. I mean, and we've got to stand up and just, you know, I've written words, but I can't just sit on my butt hoping something will happen. Whoa, you know. It's just, and then the one quote, and Edward R. Murrow, I admire that man. One of my favorite things that he said, and I can only paraphrase at his going away little ceremony retirement, he said that we all scream for indictments, trials, and if found guilty, convictions, sentencing, hanging, or incarceration. But he said, be very aware that by us standing by and allowing this to happen, we are, in fact, accomplices. This is a very tenuous and precarious time, Mike.
It
gives me chills, man. You know, it's in lay terms, it sucks, you know.
I know. I hear you, Doug. I hear you loud and clear. All right. Thanks for checking in, pal. Thanks for checking in. Merle is calling from Miami. Merle, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. It is Merle.
I agree with Doug, and Doug actually said a little predicate for what I called in about, and that is that whether or not they killed themselves or whether they were killed, the situation was set up by this administration.
That's true.
And they are innocent, and the same thing, actually, it's analogous to the situation that occurred in Haditha, where the soldiers were only there because of the illegal war that's going on. Yet,
hey, Merle, hold on a second.
Sure.
I got to do this break, and then we'll come back and pick up the call again. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America. Stay with us.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is Air America's Jerry Springer. The plight of refugees worldwide does not reach the headlines nearly as often as it should. But away from the headlines, there's a lot being done to help. The United Nations Refugee Agency is at the forefront, working every day to lessen the plight of millions of displaced people. June 20th is World Refugee Day. All of us at Air America Radio urge you to find out more about the work that goes on year-round and how you can help. Visit UNHCR.org or AirAmerica.com.
I'm Bob Harris to tell you about my new Smart Balance Omega Plus Light Mayonnaise with flax oil and plant sterols. New Smart Balance Omega Mayo has 500 milligrams of omega-3s per serving, natural plant sterols to help offset cholesterol, and half the fat and calories of regular mayonnaise. Enjoy my new Smart Balance Omega Light Mayonnaise in salads and sandwiches. You get an omega-3 wallop in every tasty dollop of my new Smart Balance Light Mayonnaise.
It's about 10 before the hour. Before we go back to Merrill, thanks to our engineers in New York, Justin Yuen, and Air America's resident rock star, Jason Isaac. Dee Neal answered your calls tonight. She's the associate producer of this program. Thanks also to Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, Ben Birch, and Jim in Arkansas. The executive producer of this program is Catherine Bay. And just one more. No, we started the program with this. If you're listening to this program in Atlanta, you're listening on the Internet or XM Radio, and you've probably called our studio to complain about the format change. I'm sorry to say you've got the wrong number. If you want to make a comment about the format change on 1690 AM in Atlanta, go to MikeMalloy.com. It's up there. The information is up there as an action alert. But I will add that you're wasting your time. If you do want to complain for some reason, have at it. But not that I ever discourage people from saying, hey, this is not fair. But the effect you will have will be the same as the effect you would have if you dumped a teacup of water into the Pacific Ocean in terms of raising the level of that ocean. So it's your call. But don't call the number that is available that information will give you. That just puts you here to our studio, and Kathy doesn't have time to listen to the complaint or the call. She'll just delete it. Back to Merrill in Miami. Where were we? The comparison between the Guantanamo suicides and Haditha.
Yes, and the Bush crime family and their creativeness. You know, they create the stories, they create the circumstances, just as they did what Herb was saying about the Gulf Coast and the crime that's there. They have created the circumstances for so much grieving and so much sadness and the crimes. And also, who knows how many other people have committed suicide because of their policies.
Right.
It's amazing to me. I feel a hatred that I don't feel for anything else. I have taught my daughter to never feel hatred about anyone or anything.
You're bringing up a very essential issue here, a very key issue, the idea that hate produces hate. You know, none of us are Jesus or Gandhi, and it's extremely difficult, I think, to know what this hideous crime family, this Bush crime family, is doing in the name of the United States, and not hate them. I don't know how to handle that either. I've known for a long time, you know, what's the old saying, that hate causes much more damage to the vessel in which it's carried than the object onto which it's poured.
That's
and I understand that. But how are we supposed to feel? Are we supposed to feel, if not in support of these monsters, are we supposed to turn off whatever is inside of us that says this is wrong and should be hated because it's evil and vile? I don't know what to do. I really don't.
Well, I think there's nothing we can do because their actions have gone so far, and there are so many that it affects us every day. And for those of us who read, and of course you who has a show, it affects us all the time.
Right.
And it's impossible to tell it to go away.
I know.
I just want to make one more statement about the honor of war.
Okay.
I think the honor of war, like Herb said again, there is no honor in war. But I think the honor that can be taken from war is that those of us who take the warriors, bring them home, that we could help them to readjust and put our loving arms around them and give them. And that's what, again, this Bush crime family has taken away, the honor of war.
They have indeed. They have indeed. Thanks, Merrill. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Have a nice evening. Mary is calling from Memphis. Mary, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thank you.
Hey, sure.
I wanted to talk a bit about the Bush crime family coup. We now have corporate fascists in control of all three branches of our government. We have six corporate fascist corporations in control of all of our media, which means we only get propaganda and entertainment. And we have corporate fascists in control of our vote counting, which promotes distrust, dishonesty, and the destruction of America. Right now in Congress, there are bills to have corporate fascist control of the Internet, which would remove basically the sole remaining information source that Americans have. And the White House has said five times publicly that it would not hesitate to use the United States military against United States citizens. And they gave a number of examples of cases in which they would do that, such as a pandemic or a natural disaster. So this is, in any country, a coup when one group has control of so many things.
It is indeed.
It's been bloodless so far, if you don't count Afghanistan and Iraq and Katrina. It scares the heck out of me.
Well, Mary, in that regard, you certainly are not alone. In my travels around the country, or right here at home in Atlanta, I hear that all the time. Mary, listen, I've got to leave it there. We're coming up on the end of the program, and we've got a baby who woke up here, had a schedule, and she's crying. We're going to have to boogie, okay? Oh, Mary's gone. Okay, thanks, Mary. Yeah, every once in a while, Molly will just not cooperate, and she woke up, what, Kathy, about 45 minutes ago? With a shrieking, typical kid nightmare. So she's out there in the part of the studio where Kathy is. We got to get her home and get her to bed. Thanks a lot for participating tonight. I do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right, your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.